afternoon. This is your Captain Joe, and I am not in my usual captain's chair. I am broadcasting today, live, unscripted, unrehearsed, from Toledo, Ohio, and you may well ask, Captain Joe, why are you in Toledo, Ohio, home of the Jeep? And the answer to that is that I have families of whom I am a member all over the world. And this is one of my families, and this is a family that came to me so many years ago that it is hard for me even to count that high, because it goes back to when I was the commander of Group and Base Sioux, which now has another name, Upper Great Lakes something or other. To me, it is Group and Base Sioux. Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, on the American side. And the members, one of the members of this family was a civilian employee of mine when I was that commander. And I remain a cherished member, and I cherish them, a treasured member of this family. And so they now live in Toledo, and they are of Canadian extraction, which, of course, is a close thing to me because my Mary R. was also Canadian. She had dual citizenship. And so my greetings today go out to all of Captain Joe's people who are with families, either going to be with families over the 4th of July or are families now for some family gathering. And these things are so important because every family, mine included, maybe mine especially, have one or two little soft points in them, and the way that we make some progress and the way that we fix these is to get together and get together in a warm and family environment, and a warm and family environment in which whatever political beliefs various members have, in which, and I'm aware, have caused some families to fracture, that these gatherings be free of all of that, and that we just get together, enjoy each other's company, tell stories from the past of people that are no longer with us, parents that are no longer with us. I've known the parents of this particular family and enjoyed them, had them as our guests in Cambridge. And so all of this is to say that it is so important and so warming to this black captain's heart, Captain's black heart, that we get together in that kind of a setting where we do fun and enjoyable things together, and we tell stories of the past, we talk about what we are doing today, and we look at especially the children and the grandchildren and what they are going to do and what our aspirations for them, what their aspirations for themselves are. This is so important. So I got here. As you all of Captain Joe's people will recall, I like to fly through the night. And in order to get to Toledo, it was SeaTac last night to Washington Dulles, one of the worst airports in the entire world. And then from Dulles to whose airline code is IAD, to Detroit, whose airline code is DTW, where I picked up a rental car and then drove to Toledo. So that's how I got here. And my warning here, my most loving warning, is that if you can avoid going to Dulles, do so, no matter, even if it may cost just a little bit more money. My binnacle list today is another sad one. It's a sad one because not only is the person who has crossed her own bar a friend, but also she and I and some of others of Captain Joe's people were all involved with Vashon Community Care. And Vashon Community Care was destroyed through the bad influences of board members that happened after I left the board. Carol Frontiero died in the middle of May, and I had seen her, and we had had a lovely talk just a few weeks before she died, and she was doing well. So this had to have been something that happened very quickly and unexpectedly. The memorial service for her is on Sunday, the 7th of July, and that is a tour day for me, so I'm going to cut my tour day short and go to her memorial service, and should the opportunity be presented to make remarks, I will make some remarks. She was a really good friend. Carol was one of those people that was a little gruff and a little bit rough around the edges sometimes. But once you got past that particular pair of barriers, there was nothing there but warmth and love. And she was a really good friend to me. And I will remark on all of that when I go to the memorial service. So, Carol, I hope that your crossing was an easy and pain-free one, as I hope for all the people for whom I care. And I will do my best to honor you when your memorial time comes on the 7th of July. I did tours on Sunday, last Sunday, which was also Father's Day. And I made it a day of dads and dogs. I took a bag of the healthy treats that are made by my friend Megan in Traverse City, Michigan, and gave some to dads who rejected them and dogs who did not. And it was a glorious day. I started right at high noon, which is 8 bells of the forenoon watch. And some friends came that are loyal and weekly live listeners to this broadcast. Laura and Ron came, and they brought a old friend, and Laura brought a grilled cheese sandwich. This was not just a plain old grilled cheese sandwich. This one was one that had a number of other ingredients. It was not only a lovely and thoughtful gift, but it was delicious. So delicious that a young boy of about 4 came up to me, and he was looking wistfully as I was working on the sandwich. Captain says, "Wistful little boy, have you had lunch?" "No, I haven't had lunch." "Would you like to have to share some of mine?" At this point, wistful little boy looked at the sandwich, and he identified in the sandwich a couple of components that were there other than just cheese and butter and toast. He wasn't quite ready to take those on, and therefore he said, no, thank you, Captain Joe, but I think I will pass. He didn't use that expression, but he said, no, thank you. So, but his parents got the word that it was time for them to feed him. You all will recall the cavalry saying that I use frequently and will use even more frequently as the years go by. The good general makes sure that his men and horses are fed before himself. So it was just a glorious day out there all day, and there was a constant stream of people who came to see the troll. You all know that we have a troll at Point Robinson now, but not down in the Coast Guard part, not at the light station part. It's just off of the upper parking lot. So I had a number of people that somehow or other found their way down to the lighthouse seeking Oscar the Troll. Well, do you know where the troll is? Yes, the captain knows everything, or most everything, and therefore he knows where the troll is. But while you're here, you may listen to what I have to tell you about Point Robinson Lighthouse. Some shifting of foot from one foot to the other with this idea that because they were being thwarted in their search for Oscar the Troll. But in any case, I had four families that were who had come to see me by mistake, and they were then directed to the troll, but not without also being required to listen to a certain amount of pontification about Point Robinson Lighthouse and about fathers and about Father's Day and about how every day should be Father's Day and Mother's Day. You all have heard me say all these things over and over again. You know the drill. But I take this opportunity to thank everybody who sent me, despite my disdain for Father's Day as a holiday, sent me greetings and cards and notes and phone calls. There were a lot of them, and some of them came from people that, to whom I am related neither by blood nor marriage, just because they are Captain Joe's people. And I guess they thought that maybe nobody would recognize Father's Day with me, and so they filled in the hole. I thank you all for that. We have just celebrated the Army's birthday, 249 years. The Army counts its birthday from 1775. And I bring it up here because I am an Army buddy. Now, I never served in the Army. I have provided gunfire support to Army troops, especially up in I Corps in Vietnam. But I am an honorary Army buddy through the good offices of my dear and much-loved friend, Captain Truman O'Brien, and by extension, all of the other Army troops that I know and care about. So, 249th birthday. Happy birthday, Army. And many thanks to Truman in particular for allowing me the privilege of being an honorary Army buddy. One of the benefits that comes from that is that Captain O'Brien brought back from this last reunion a beautiful coffee mug that was one of the things that was given out at this reunion. And I had another Army officer come and visit me for a little come-to-the-captain time, and I used the Army mug both as a symbolic thing and as a practical thing that contained the coffee that was being offered as the hospitality of the day. So many thanks. And I'm also reminded when I read about the Army and about its 249th birthday that I am now another chapter passed in the biography of John Adams by David McCulloch. And I am at the part where Adams and Alexander Hamilton really go at it. And they did not like each other personally. They did not have a great deal of respect for each other professionally. And in any case, the discussion had to do with a standing army. Alexander Hamilton wanted a standing army, and of course he also is the founder of the Coast Guard in 1790, which was then called the Revenue Cutter Service, which is why all of our ships today are still called cutters. That's why I am a proud cutterman myself. So the two of them had a longstanding divisiveness over this whole subject of a standing army and the idea that this country did not need a standing army, and Alexander Hamilton said we certainly did, and that in order to protect ourselves, because maybe we're even going to spread out beyond the Mississippi River. We may even spread down into the Gulf one of these years. And, of course, all of those things happen. And, of course, we have now a large and professional all-volunteer standing army. Happy birthday, number 249, my army buddies. The document that came to me 2 weeks ago called the Ingham U.S. Coast Guard Cutter, Ingham Scuttlebutt, in which I reported the crossing of the bar of my friend Captain Moynihan's wife, Cindy, and that was one of my sad pinnacle list entries. So I did not get into some of the other information that was in it, and I do so here because the next Coast Guard cutter, Ingham, is under construction in a shipyard in Panama City, Florida, Eastern Shipbuilding. And at the reunion that I just attended with the at which was in attendance the Coast Guard Foundation, or Foundation for Coast Guard History, I told that I was working to get a piece of steel from my Ingham and transporting it to with suitable ceremony and installing it with even more suitable ceremony, welding it into the fabric of the new Ingham under construction. However, everything seemed at Eastern Shipbuilding seems to have gotten into some sort of delay, and the report that I have from Captain Moynihan, who has been tracking this, is that maybe she will not commission until 2026. I make here the point that as her senior living commanding officer, her senior living captain, it is my intent to be in attendance at her commissioning ceremony. However, time marches on. And although I march from one place in an airport to another to all of the various missions for which I travel, and it is not given to us to know the day nor the hour, and well do I know that, and well do many of you know that, that we should not lollygag around, no more skylarking in the rigging about getting her moving along in a smart and seamanlike fashion so that those who intend to be there can fulfill that intent. So I am just pointing out that we cannot waste too much more time. Else many who should be there may have another address. So the other document or the other periodical that came to me recently is Power Ships, which is the Journal of the Steamship Historical Society. And Power Ships used to be called Steamboat Bill, and I love Steamboat Bill. And the executive director unilaterally decided to change the name for reasons which are not clear. I believe that if he had submitted it to the membership for a vote, that he probably would have been told to take his Power Ship title someplace else. In any case, that's the name of the journal. But the journal itself is an incredibly beautifully assembled, beautifully put together, lavishly photographed and with great stories in it. And the story that I am going to reference right now is one about LORAN. LORAN is an acronym for Long Range Navigation. It was developed during World War II as an electronic aid to navigation, and it continued all the way up until 2010. The last signal from a U.S. station was, I believe, in February 2010, and then a Canadian station in August of 2010. The author is a gentleman by the name of Bob Calves, C-A-L-V-E-S. He served 4 years in the Coast Guard, and he served at one of the LORAN stations, the one on Iwo Jima. I heartily commend to not only those who were involved with the LORAN program, but also those who are just interested in Coast Guard history, and in particular interested in some of the electronic systems in which we've been involved over the decades, to read this article. It is in Powerships, and it is in the spring 2024 issue, which came to me just recently. And along with the story about LORAN, there is a lot of other really interesting and beautifully illustrated and beautifully written material about Powerships, formerly known as Steamboat Bill. It is, I heard or read a rumor that there is some developmental work going on to restore a LORAN system, and if that were to happen, the Coast Guard would operate it for certain. And the reason for this is that the Global Positioning System, which is the system that replaced LORAN, GPS, is susceptible to being shut down. LORAN, of course, could also be shut down. But in any case, it has some other technical vulnerabilities that are not shared by the LORAN system, and that there may well be some interest in reviving LORAN in some version. I grew up with LORAN where you had to peer down into a box, and way down at the bottom was a cathode ray tube, and on that cathode ray tube danced across at some signals, and you had to interpret those signals in order to get a line of position on the chart. On Oster Station Victor, 34 North, 164 East, it was a really ticklish business, and we were working on the edges of the LORAN signal, and the LORAN A signal, the higher frequency signal, also had a bounce, so that you were using sometimes a second wave. And if there was ever a dicey shall we say, chancy fix that came out of that, that was it. But anyway, it is possible that there is work being done. And in any case, I heartily recommend the article Powerships in the issue that just came out. The cover is a photograph of the cruise ship Hamburg, and it is, and can you buy it on the newsstand? I don't know about that, but you certainly can go on to the website. Membership. I have been a member of the Steamship Historical Society for probably 40 years. Every now and then, Mary R. would say, Joseph. And when she would say, Joseph, I knew that we had important business to discuss. She would say, don't you think that it's time that you recycle some of those? I said, no, Mary R. Those are vital, valuable historical records. Touch not any of my Steamboat Bill or any of the other periodicals, which now are piled up in my carport. And, of course, the carport has to be cleared, hopefully by me, before I cross my own bar. But if somehow I don't get to it, then all of those issues of Steamboat Bill are going to go right into the old recycle. I am certain of that. So, Power Ships it is today. Take a look at it for that wonderful article about Loran. This coming Saturday is low tide celebration, and I am planning to be back in time for that. It's on Saturday, this coming Saturday, and the and because we have the, I'm not saying that it is because of the troll, but we are expecting for several reasons to have more people than we've ever had before. We're going to have one of the lowest tides on a weekend that we were able to contrive. We have a wonderful group of young people that we've trained as beach naturalists to take other young people out onto the beach and to learn about all of the things that they can see when the tide is at its lowest. It starts at 2 o'clock, or it starts at 10 o'clock in the morning. It goes until 2 o'clock in the afternoon, 1400. And I will be staying for the rest of the afternoon for any people that want to stay and listen to the captain talk about lighthouses and give directions to the troll, because that's now one of the things that I have added to my talk. This coming 5th of July, it is time for Polar Star to have a new captain. You all may recall that one of the great broadcasts, in my opinion anyway, I do not say my humble opinion, humility runs a little bit thin in the water in my soul, but the Polar Star change of command 2 years ago, she was in the dry dock in Vallejo, California, and I went down to be a part of that ceremony, and I did my broadcast from underneath her. She was up on the blocks in the dry dock, and her captain and her chief of the boat and a very young enlisted sailor and your captain, all of us got together underneath the ship, and we did our broadcast from underneath her. Right, she is once again in the in a shipyard in California. I don't know which one right now. And I am trying to figure out how I can make it all go together so that I can go down and greet the new commanding officer and to wish well the one who is being relieved. I feel now, and I have always felt, that command at sea should be at least a three-year tour. The commandant in this, as in many other things, has not shared my conviction with regard. Therefore, we change commanding officers every 2 years in the icebreakers. My final note for today, because I am indeed coming up, as always, two questions. Has been doing some comparative aerial photographs of the glaciers in Antarctica, and the report is that the one that they sampled along about 2,000 kilometers of the Antarctic shoreline is that these glaciers are not only not retreating, but in some cases the ice volume and ice area is increasing in parts of Antarctica, and the Norwegian Institute's warning is that this is in no way to detract the importance of studying climate change. But this is an anomaly, which is because of a number of factors in Antarctica. My personal interest is continues to behave as it should and is not getting any smaller. And if you go on Google Earth and you type in Google Glacier, you yourself will be able to see the glacier we all share, because all of you are Kenjo's people. And with that, I have come to the end of my time once again all too quickly. So this is your Captain Joe. As always, I am on station, watching properly, glaciating properly on the Antarctic Peninsula with the Wubble Glacier. And we never say goodbye. We say until we meet again. And a happy birthday again to my Army buddies. All of you are in the palm of my hand. Everybody take care of each other. God bless.